Good evening.
Good evening.
This is different. I don't have a pulpit to hide behind. The first reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, 31 to 39. Give you a moment to turn there. And as I quick read through this, the first part of Romans chapter 8 talks about life in the Spirit. And it dawned on me that we have a choice that we can make tonight and every day going to this year. We can face this year in the power of the Spirit, or we can face this year in the power of our own flesh. And God has given us that choice, and He's afforded us the Holy Spirit that we have received in our baptism that each and every one of us has. So who knows what this year is going to bring? It's going to be an interesting one, I think. But every day, I just hope that I remember to tell myself it's time to face it in the power of the Spirit and not the power of my own flesh. Romans 8, 31 to 39. And by the way, if we do that, what I'm about to read is some of the confidence that we could have as we face these challenges. Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. We'll be reading from verse 1 to 8. Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I do not fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Sends readings.
And at the beginning of the More Than Conqueror session in Romans 8 is Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, for those who have been called according to his purpose. All things is this wonderful song that was written long ago, sharing that text, and we'll sing responsively, like it says there, the whole chorus at the bottom of the page, and we'll sing that again so we get a chance to just learn it a little further.
Work together
for the good of those
for the good of
For the good of those, for the good of those who love you.
And again,
all things work together
for the good of those,
for the good of those who love you.
All
things work together
for the good of those,
for the good of those who love you. When things are beyond my control, to you, Lord, I lift up my soul. And when things are hard to understand, Lord, I trust in your perfect plan.
All
things
work together
for the good of those, for the good of those
who love you.
For the good of those who love you. Something's hazy will someday be clear. Something's hidden will one day appear. And something so wrong will be made right as we walk in your perfect light.
All things work together for the good of those,
for the good of those
who love you.
All things
work together
for the good of those,
for the good of those who love you.
We are those
who love you.
We are those
who love you.
Big question. Will God find faith on earth when he comes? Very powerful one. And he asked that then already, and he asked that again tonight through the text that we read, and we begin to understand the significance of it. Jesus is introducing his disciples into a parable that says you can't give up. You can't quit. You have to understand, life's tough, but you can't give up. In other words, the reason that the woman got her prayer answered or her request fulfilled was she didn't give up. And she becomes a testimony that God sets for an example of a woman in one sense at the bottom of the heap. She's a widow. She is asking the judge for something. She is a woman in that culture viewed as a second-class citizen. And the judge could have easily continued to ignore her. But she had a determination and understanding in her heart, I don't quit. Now that's a significant attitude when you start to think of the implications, because Jesus turns that all the way around and he says, I'm using this parable to remind you as disciples to pray often, pray continually, and not give up. Now, unless you're particularly unique, in the world, you've probably prayed for something and it did not come. You've probably asked for something and it came much later than you thought. And then there's a few times, if you go back and remember them, that there are times when good things, blessings from God, directions from God came and you didn't even know you needed them, and they were right there before you even asked for them. But into this context, Jesus is trying to train disciples. How do I teach kids, pupils? Remember, the disciples mean you're a pupil. You're supposed to be learning, and you're learning from following in the footsteps of Christ and learning the things that he's trying to teach you. So it goes on there. It says, finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God and I don't care about men at all, this widow keeps bothering me, and she becomes this example of even a secular word finally saying, fine, I'll get you what you want. And in that mouthful of frustration, the judge steps forward and acts how he should have acted anyway. His motives might be wrong, but he's going to get the job done for her, and he's going to get it done because something we understand, the widow didn't give up. You always picture the little kids, mom, 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 I'm listening, mom, no, I'm listening, watch my, mom, are you really listening, watch me, mom, and you can see that, and they sometimes do that to an unbelievable extreme, like somehow you're going, I'm here, I'm looking at you, oh, okay, and those are the kind of things, and yet you understand in this particular text that I'm looking at is this point, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out. What a wretched man. What an arrogant leader. Doesn't understand justice. He's a wretched judge. He deserves to be punished, held accountable, and still Jesus is using him as an example that even the worst of judges, those with the least of things going in his favor, deserving nothing but contempt from anybody who understands the injustice of what he was failing to do in dealing with this woman in an appropriate way. And obviously, what she was asking for was justice and appropriate, because as soon as he set his mind to it, he apparently got the job done. And so into this now, it says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge said. What are you learning? Well, number one, I hope you're learning you don't shut up in the miserable realities of an unpredictable earth we live on. There are unjust judges all over the place and unjust people that sell you stuff, and a list goes on, and you begin to understand if you want to bring about some change, you can't shut up. It's going to have to be something. But that's not exactly the lesson that he wants us to walk away with. It says this, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Then the challenge. Do you have enough faith to do and be who you're supposed to be? It's an invitation. It's not an insult. It's a challenge. How easy it is for you to give up. How sometimes do you choose the smooth path of I'll just not say anything or do anything or I won't go in this direction? How easy is it for all of us to go to that last point where he makes that wherever, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And this is not just I believe faith, which is perfectly acceptable. This is get up and do faith. This is action faith. This woman got up in the morning, started knocking on the door of the judge's house, went to the place where the judge was, asking for those very things. And so the contrast, of course, is that God loves you. But sometimes there is a lesson you're learning in God's answer, no or not yet. Sometimes you don't understand. We get so frustrated because God doesn't answer my request, my repair, or the request and my prayer in an appropriate way, and he seems to take so long in getting it done. And so one of the challenges that Jesus is offering his disciple is learn from the widow. Your heavenly Father is not nearly as nasty as that unjust judge is. So are you motivated? Are you committed to asking God and pursuing God? You see, one of the challenges Jesus had to get his disciples ready for were the unpredictabilities that we all deal with in a new year. You understand? We don't know. We've got all kinds of new things that they say are coming, and diseases and all that rest of stuff, and financial crunches and dollar collapses and government economy this and something else that. We have no idea what the year is going to bring. The question God's asking you is, do you have faith to enter this new year? It's really the challenge that he poses to us. And he poses it in kind of a backhanded kind of way. Do you have enough toughness, courage, guts, whatever is the right, appropriate word to describe a woman who refuses to give up? I'm coming back tomorrow. I want justice. You have to get this to me. This is only right. This is only reasonable. I'm coming back again. I'm coming back again. I'm coming back again. And so you and I are given an example of a woman with such strong determination, such confidence that this can be worked out, that she puts pressure on an unjust judge to get justice in her own life. Now, you and I have that as the backdrop, and the question, like I said, is do you have and are you exercising the kind of faith that you need to really enter the new year? A lot of families have been going through different stresses. I had one family that yesterday they were in the hospital, children's hospital, with one of their little ones for the whole day. And the child is still in pain, and they did multiple tests with some little satisfaction on the part of the parents or anything else like that. And the child is still not well. And I go, that's one of those times you didn't anticipate, no one looks forward to, and the last thing we want to have is one of our precious little ones sick or hurting. We certainly don't want to hurt either, but it seems to be even more painful when a child that you can't exactly have explained in detail to you all the things that you want to know is in pain. And so you begin to understand. That's when you step into it. Have you ever had or heard about somebody in a hospital? I have, Carl, I was talking to Carl, and he said, you can't believe what they did and didn't do for my mom. Now, Carl is a pharmacist. He's a doctor. He knows a few things. And so he was looking at these nurses and these doctors, and he was holding their feet to the fire, and he didn't back down. First of all, it's not in his nature to back down, but second of all, he was knowledgeable of what he was expecting for them to do. And so in that role, he said, I don't know how people who have no one to go in and be with them when life and circumstances get tough like that can possibly survive, because they'll tell you they gave you the medicine. And Carl said, you did not give my mother that medicine. And that is suddenly you got this confrontation moment, and finally they figure it out. You're right. We didn't give her the medicine. But she would not have gotten it if he had not been there to fight that battle for her. And so that's one of those pragmatic realities that we have to deal with, having someone who is in your court, someone who stands by you, even in the inconsistencies and the unpredictabilities of what you deal with. And you should glean and harvest those people into your life so that you have someone who's willing to stand by you in those difficult situations. The same way the church began to rally around this mother and this family as she was struggling with trying to figure out what was going on with her son. And so you begin to understand, God doesn't put us here to miss the opportunity, but to exercise a level of faith and commitment that serves not just ourselves, but it serves others around us. We normally think of family, and that's perfectly acceptable. But sometimes there need to be people in your court fighting for you, standing their ground with you in the difficulties of life. Those that step in and help you solve a problem, whether it's financial, emotional, or spiritual, or whatever it is, that's the challenge and the invitation also. Will God find faith? Will I find a church being the church with one another? Will I find people fighting in the battle? Will I find people standing arm in arm and shoulder to shoulder? What was it, two Sundays or three Sundays ago? I had the kids get in a circle up here and was explaining to them how Satan wants to attack and destroy them. And I gave him the example, and I said, as I started to bring, I had a plastic red dragon, and I bring the dragon close, and some of the boys would come jumping up and start punching the dragon in the nose. I said, that's great. That's what the church's job is, to understand the significance of standing together. And then I had the kids, one kid that I had been picking on, stand in the middle, and the other kids turn their back toward him and stand facing out so that no matter which side the enemy attacked on, there were people there willing to stand the ground with him and fight for him and fight for his faith and his walk with the Lord. And then I had the whole congregation stand up, and some of you were here for that. And I said, now I want you to form that outer circle. And they all stood up, and they turned their back, and they said, I got this section. No one's coming in from this door unless it's over my dead body. And I go, that's the church. That's the attitude that says, I won't quit. I won't surrender this place in front of me. You can't fight all sides, and you can't take Satan on alone, and you can't fight the battles all alone. But you can fight that portion of your battle for that person, for that child, for that situation you're in that you're in front of. And at that point, you begin to understand what God is talking about here when he says, will I find faith? Is there a church that knows how to be that, how to do that, how to turn their back and understand, I've got this area, nothing is affecting this child or this church or this friend through this direction. I will do my part and fight my portion of the battle. Satan cannot have our children. Satan cannot have our marriages. Satan cannot have our lives or our circumstances. We are going to stand and fight. Now, the second part, which is even better in the story of the widow, is that understanding, but God, who is a just judge, who pursues and seeks after and knows even before you ask. And now we jump backwards into that Roman passage that says, what can we say in response to all the things that God's been pointing out in Romans? It said, if God is for you, who can be against you? You understand? You start to put these in the context of battle. God, I've got this area to fight. Yep. And it's not going to be easy. Nope. But you're not going to let anybody through, are you? No. Are you going to let Satan have that child? No. And you go, stand in the gap. Fight your portion of the battle. Understand that, because he points that out. If God's for you, if God's on your side, who can come against you? Now you start to understand this in terms of battle language, in terms of understanding of how these are fought. Even animals in the wild, particularly I know from the muskox and several of them, will form literally when the wolves try to attack their young, will literally form a circle with all the rear ends of the large animals facing toward the little ones that are all in the middle of the circle. And all that wolf sees is an adult male or female with a great set of horns to destroy the enemy. And so they understand this concept. They see it working. They know that they have this ability to take the wolves out as long as they can trust the people on the backside to keep them from letting the wolves come in from that side. And so this is what he's trying to communicate to us now in Romans. It says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God's not up there waiting for you to beg, but he is allowing you to ask, and he is allowing you to learn lessons while you ask. He's wanting the disciples, and not give up. Ask, but don't give up. Keep on asking, knocking, and seeking. We hear, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. Those kind of, and we think it's just knock. I knocked. God says, no, no, that's continuous. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Keep on finding what I'm trying to give to you. And so we begin to understand, as Scripture begins to reveal that clearly to us, we're getting an example of the woman to say, Lord, I won't give up. I know that you're doing something in the middle of this. I know that my heart changes every time I have to get on my face before you, or I have to say, dear Lord, rescue this friend's marriage. Dear Lord, rescue my children. Dear Lord, help us as a church to understand your will. No matter how that happens, your life is being altered by the fact that you're submitting yourself in humility, pursuing God, asking him to accomplish what you know he's capable of accomplishing. It goes like this. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Who can bring something against you? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? How can anyone condemn you if God says you're okay? I was listening to a little testimony on the radio, and the pastor said, somebody walked up to him and said, oh, pastor, I just want to do more stuff for people. I want to feed more poor, and I want to do this. And the pastor said, well, that's really good that you're wanting to do that. He said, why are you wanting to do that? And the guy responded, or the person responded, and said, so that I feel better about myself. And the pastor looked at him and said, that's a nice selfish motive. You mean it's all about how it makes you feel? And he held his feet to the fire with that. You understand how even when asking or pursuing or having a sincere prayer, we can get ourselves twisted around and we are actually going, oh God, you're so lucky to have me as one of your pastors, as one of your people. Look what a great mother or father I am. Look what a great individual I am. God, don't you understand? And you begin bartering with God. You begin forgetting this is God's heart for you. If an unjust judge can figure this out, and God's heart is to bless you at the right time with the right things in the right way, God is always good. We keep saying it, but it's so difficult to actually function with it. So the challenge comes. When God comes, when Christ comes, will he find faith on earth? And it goes on from that point, and he says this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he goes through this unbelievable list, all of which are possible next year, right? Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. Any one of those could come in any one of our lives. Inevitably, we read about it periodically. Somebody's car is stolen and someone is held at gunpoint and somebody's family is falling apart. I just read the other day about people doing some pretty nasty things to one another, and you just realize those are all potentials. But then he goes on, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. And that's Paul saying to the people, he said, we're risking everything so that you understand who God is and how he feels toward you. Paul says, just keep watching as we remain faithful, even as the horrible, difficult, challenging things come into their lives, our lives. 37 now. No, in all these things, here's Paul, we're more than conquerors. I cannot lose. Even in losing, I win. Even in understanding, it's not God playing word games with us. It's so many times if people said, this door slammed, I got fired from my job, and I thought for a month I didn't have any idea what I was going to do, and all of a sudden this opportunity opened up right in front of me, and I moved comfortably from this spot to this spot as I watched God open doors and close doors to move me from one place, one situation, to another. Helping us understand that while we are faithful to God, we cannot always recognize all the things God is doing. And so the question comes back, do you have the faith to enter the new year, to actually trust God with these promises that he's given to you? And he goes on there, Paul goes, for I'm convinced, I'm solidified, I'm resting on, that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, present or future, any power, and neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, the agape of God, that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so here's his wish. You've got the new year, and you know who's already in it all, and you know who God has promised, and he says, don't give up. Will he find faith on earth? The challenge that God brings to us, and the answer, O Lord, make me stronger today than I was yesterday. Help me to walk with more integrity today than I did yesterday. Help me to see your hand of mercy in my life and the life of people around me. Lord, I know that you love my son, my daughter, my situation, and care more about it than I do, because you're God and I'm not. And so, Lord, I'm going to surrender this child, this situation into your hands. I'm going to ask that you speak loudly to me so I don't miss a direction or a command or anything I should be about. But teach me, Lord, to have the kind of faith to walk into the new year with those kind of convictions. Pray with me if you would. How good you are, Lord. Beyond anything we can comprehend, while life seems so dark and unpredictable to us sometimes, you remind us to be faithful, to follow you wholeheartedly, and to put our trust in you, like Jeff pointed out, Lord, to set our mind upon the Spirit, to set our eyes upon you, and trust in who you are and who you reveal yourself for us to be. Come and bless us all, and just accomplish your will in all of our lives. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.